everybody, and welcome to Surviving the Times. This is episode 1 of Preparedness 101, a brand new series of mine on developing your preparedness and survival plans for the coming times. Most of what this series is going to be covering are two books of mine. Number one is a book called Surviving the Times, which is frank discussions on how to survive the coming times, and also a second book that I am now writing. I'm about a third or so way through that, but it'll be about a 300-page book called Survival Homesteading. The information combined from these two books with this audio series will sort of lead you in the direction that you need to go to build yourself a preparedness or survival homestead someplace, and that will lead you to a sustainable lifestyle so that no matter what happens, eventually you'll be at a point where you can survive whatever happens, provided nobody drops a nuke on your front door. But as an introduction, sort of, why did I write Surviving Times, and why is it important to me that I share this information? There's a couple of reasons that are very important. There are dozens, really, but two of the biggest ones is, number one, I'm a bit of a preparedness freak. I always have been, and I probably always will be. But number two, as I look around the marketplace at the offerings that are being made available to people like me and newcomers to the, shall we call, hobby of preparedness and survival, there's far too many products out there that are being foisted upon this public that are becoming increasingly frustrated and frightened of the coming times. A lot of stuff out there, but there's very few places out there where you can go to help learn to make your own decisions for when it comes to your survival and preparedness needs. Needs for survival change from person to person, climate to climate, and environment to environment. And we all seem to see offered products basically the same one-size-fit-all 72-hour packs or 24-hour packs or one-week packs or this pack or that pack that's not really custom-designed, even though a lot of them broadcast these items as being the ultimate. And that they suggest that if you have this product, you don't need any other product to survive. And this really isn't true. It may be perfect for one person or another, but not everybody. People that live in Maine, for instance, are going to have totally different needs than somebody that lives in Florida, and somebody that lives in Florida are going to have different needs for survival than somebody that lives in California in the earthquake zones. So not all of these packs are really suitable for everybody. So basically, I guess what this series is going to do is it's going to attempt to plug the hole between the need and the don't need state that we all come to at some point in our preparedness planning efforts. Or simply put, we often see people being told that you need this product, this tool, and that gadget, and you need to do this action, and you will survive. Again, this isn't always the case. So by taking the time to think things through, you can develop a tailor-made plan that's going to fit your specific needs. And you can do it without buying tons of food and equipment you probably will never need. Something else that you'll need will be some literature by way of a library book. An assortment of library books describing the act of becoming prepared or survivalism. In my research, I've picked up an extensive library of survival guides and preparedness manuals, and I can safely say that, for the most part, many of the offerings today merely mimic somebody else's ideas and plans. There are several books out there that are they're almost made from a cookie cutter perspective. If you have one, you don't need the others because the others tell you exactly what one of them will tell you. So this is going to be kind of a different sort of trip for you in preparedness planning. Now, one thing you need to remember is that you do need to learn, and by learning, you're obviously going to have to buy books on various topics. And you do need to examine these books that you're considering carefully. For instance, you need to ask if you already own a book that tells you something you already know. And if so, then you're better off buying a different book that addresses skills that you really need to learn about and develop. So what I intend to do here is help you develop a sense of what you need to look for and what types of foods, equipment, tools, and skills you may need for long-term survival plan for the coming times. You won't find any cookie-cutter formulas in this series, but you will find frank discussions about many of the things we need to prepare for. You won't find the fear-mongering and hysteria that many books base their content on. And you will, of course, find warnings and tips on what to watch for as the world continues upon its natural course of development and decay. Now, if you're truly and fully prepared for the coming times, then you have absolutely no need to fear whatever may befall us in the future. I've sort of laid my program of preparedness planning out into four different sections. This first section that we're going to be starting today, we'll be dealing with some ideas behind your planning efforts. And in your planning stage, you should develop a binder system for note-taking and record-keeping, and divide that binder into different sections. Each section should deal with a different topic or area that needs to be addressed in your both your long-term and short-term planning. Now, to start out the first section, I'm going to address the question of why preparedness planning is so important to us in today's world of new disasters and threats. Following that, I'll be going into a discussion surrounding your preparedness binder and some of the topics you should include in your own planning discussions. Now, I've taken the liberty of dividing preparedness into nine different sections as follows. Number one, or tab one, documentation. Tab two, water. Tab three, nutrition. Tab 4, sanitation. Tab 5, safety and security. Tab 6, transportation. Tab 7, long-term needs. Tab 8, go bags and bug out kits. And tab 9, first aid. Now you can feel free to add or delete sections as you feel the need to, or you can even change them around to an order that suits your needs. It's your binder, and your survival depends upon your skills and knowledge, not mine. I would like to suggest that you use a three-ring binder, as this allows you to also insert photocopied articles and other items into the various sections. A simple wire-bound notebook will suffice as well, but you'll have nowhere near the organizational capabilities that a three-ring binder provides, but the choice is entirely yours. And just as an aside here, for those of you that are technically cognizant, you might want to consider getting a program from Microsoft called OneNote. They have a program there that actually creates notebooks, and you can divide it up into different sections, tabs, and pages as suits your needs. And you can move those pages around and expand on them. And you can actually store, you know, tons and tons of information on these pages. And it also has a lot of neat little gadgets and tools that you can use to surf the web and snip little portions of this program or that program off of it and do some recordings and things like that. It's a neat little program. You can go to Microsoft.com and check it out, or to your local software supplier. Now, if you do that, though, make sure that you do print out a hard copy to back up that information, should you not have a computer that you can use that on at some point in time. You won't be able to call it up and look at that information that you've recorded. So make sure that you always have a paper, hard copy record of everything that you're doing and what your plans are. Basically, what would happen if we ever did actually get attacked in some manner, or the solar array event that some are talking about ever occurs, then our computers will probably not work for us because they'll be fried. But in Section 2, I deal with some of the most controversial and widely discussed topics that I've come across in my own research over the last couple of decades, actually. These topics include things like respirators and gas masks, emergency building repairs, emergency heating and cooking, survival armories, gold and silver for your survival, and many, many, many more. And these are all topics that seem to be hotly contested on various forums, and you'll need to come to your own conclusions as to how to deal with each of the issues. Each of us in a different state of need and ability, and just because the survival guru du jour says something is fact, it doesn't make it so. Do your own research and planning, and your knowledge will increase by it. And when we get to it in Section 3, we'll be dealing with specific incident topics such as extreme heat, hurricanes, terrorism, and other emergency situations. Most of these, that section that we'll be talking about, come from several of the various government-issued books and pamphlets dealing with these same topics. It's all interesting, good advice, no matter what the source is. And I think at this time I would strongly recommend that you visit the website www.ready.gov to learn more about dealing with emergencies. They've got several free publications available for download as a PDF that can greatly add to your knowledge base. In Section 4, I'm going to be providing a database of state, federal, and private national websites and contact information available here in the United States. I'd also suggest that you find your own state emergency office contact and visit their site to see what they have to offer the public in the way of information. It's also a good idea to learn the various local and state emergency plans ahead of time so that you can know what to expect when the proverbial crap hits the fan. Evacuation is probably one of the worst orchestrated responses to any disaster anywhere. And that fact can be traced to the lack of knowledge by the public on what to do and where to go when the order to evacuate is issued. So in summary, let me say that this program should not be looked upon as an end-all manual for preparedness and planning and survivalism, but instead look upon it as a jumping-off point for your own journey towards self-reliance and survival. I'm going to be pointing you in some direction, but whether you take them or not is entirely up to you. You and you alone are responsible for your own life and well-being, and the life of your well-being of your family as well. I've been asked why I believe that planning for survival and emergency preparedness is so important in today's modern world. And we've got to remember that, after all, the world has become modern in all of its ways, with surpluses of nearly every commodity. Wars don't seem to be as great a burden or as common as they once were. We still have strife within and between nations, but the nature of the conflict has become less personal. Therefore, it seems to require less of a commitment towards it. But these wars happen far from our shores in the United States here, so we're safe from war. Food is more plentiful today than even just 50 years ago, and international aid is available for anybody who suffers from hunger. And of course, getting that aid to those who really need it can be quite a challenge, but it can be done. But famine happens on other continents, so we're safe from want here in America. Healthcare is also a abundant commodity, and it's available to anybody who requires it. Transportation and communication in the United States has also become a second nature item, and everybody that desires a cell phone can carry one around no matter where they want, and they can be easily gotten, and they can be gotten for very cheap. Internet access can also be had by those who wish to use it as well. If you don't have access in your home, most community libraries or schools have an access program in place that allows those who live in that community to use it for absolutely free of charge. But ignorance and diseases are products of other nations, so here in the United States, we're safe from need. We seem to have everything we want here in the United States, so why would we want to invest in a year's supply of food that we're told we really don't need? Why would we want to accumulate gardening tools, seeds, and supplies to grow food in our backyards when we could simply run down to the grocer and buy all the fresh vegetables we want? Do we really need to stock up on water, fuel oil, oil and battery-powered lamps, candles, and so on? Do we really need to plan on alternative forms of transportation? And do we really need to look into buying property in the middle of nowheres and build a survival retreat? Well, do we really need to do any of the things that I and many others talk about when we discuss ways to prepare for the coming times? And is preparedness really a worthwhile endeavor given the abundance we have in our world today? Well, no, not really, at least not if you're comfortable living in the same manner as the earthquake survivors in Port-au-Prince are living today. It's been quite some time since we had that earthquake, over a year now. And, you know, look at the conditions that they're living in. Now, if you don't mind standing in line for hours to receive meager food rations, and if you don't mind putting off medical care because there aren't enough staff and medical supplies to tend to everybody that wants it, and if you don't mind living in a surplus tent with no powerful lights, no heat, no communications, no TV or radio, and insufficient sanitation, then you don't have to prepare. You see, preparedness is not about running around with a semi-auto rifle plinking away at the zombie looters and defending your block from incursion by the people from the next block. Preparedness is not about building a fortress to keep the world away. And preparedness is especially not about building a spacecraft to escape into the great unknown, searching for a habitable planet. Maybe light years away from us, but that's precisely what many people believe preparedness is. When asked to define a person who practices the preparedness philosophy, many people describe a character resembling the part played by Michael Gross in the movie Tremors. He was a gun-wielding isolationist with paranoid delusions of the government. It's actually a pretty good movie. It's rather humorous, and it's well worth the time it takes to watch it. It doesn't really give you many good tips on survival or preparedness or homesteading, but it is a good movie. I suggest you take a look at it, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Of course, other people think that preparedness people are the sustainable crowd. They're liberal-minded, hide-your-head-in-a-bucket type while ignoring reality, purely cowards. But no one's even close to an accurate picture of what these people portray. What is preparedness and survivalism? In a way, we could simply say that preparedness is the process of becoming ready to survive after some calamity disrupts the world as we know it and turns it into a much less habitable place to live. And this could be because of a natural disaster or a man-made situation. There are many reasons why this could happen. And there are several different ways of approaching the issue of preparedness, and any one of them can be right. But instead of looking at the issue as a concept of what is right and what is wrong, we should be looking at preparedness as a question of what is the most appropriate plan for my or our particular needs. Loading up on firearms might protect you, but the guns won't feed you. You can, of course, hunt for game with them, but they won't hunt the game for you. You have to learn how to use them. You have to learn how to hunt. And you could have 50 tons of long-term storage food, but it won't protect you. And you can have a shortwave radio and get information from outside of your area, but it won't give you clean potable water. And clean potable water won't provide you with protein and other nutrients to keep you healthy and strong. Survival is the process of your adapting to and creating a new way of life because the life you have come to accept as being the norm is gone. Preparedness is the process of your acceptance of the need to be ready to make the changes required to be able to adapt and create a new way of living. You can prepare for the coming hard times by accumulating knowledge and skills, and then by accumulating supplies and equipment. Don't make the mistake so many have made and run off buying tons of supplies and then not learn how to use them. You simply look upon them as a waste of money and then discard them, chiding yourself for being foolish enough to buy them in the first place. It results in the probability of your needing them later on and not having them when life hits the skids and comes to a screeching halt. Knowledge is life. With the proper knowledge, you will be able to survive on much less than you probably think you can. Remember that back in the pioneer days, intrepid souls would head off into the uncharted wilderness with a musket, and later on a rifle, perhaps a pistol or two, and a small pack with some pemmican, ground corn, a small sack of beans, and maybe a chunk of dried pork or some similar fare. The outfit was rounded out with a woolen blanket and a good knife. These men lived for years on just what they could carry in their small packs and really suffered very little. They could do this because they had the knowledge of how to find their own food, and the ability as well, and they had the knowledge of how to hunt and trap, and they knew what wild plants they could eat. They also learned what plants would provide them with medicine to cure their ills. They knew their land. Today, we know the supermarket, we know the pharmacy, and most of the serious hunting we do today consists of clipping coupons in the Sunday paper and charging up and down the supermarket aisles with a rickety old carriage looking for bargains. And now, as we change and transform into the new millennium, we're entering into an era where we simply pull out our G3 phones and browse the internet looking for a better price on a product, while a salesman looks on, helplessly seeing his paycheck dwindle while you save a couple of bucks. We've lost much of the knowledge that we've learned over the eons of time as a society just over the last half century or so here in the United States. Technology has made us dependent upon the outside for all our needs. It's true there are many who cling to what we now call the simpler ways, and in the long run, these people may be much better off than most of the country. When the proverbial crap hits the fan, they will already know how to survive because they have planned to do so, and have practiced for that very eventuality. We can catch glimpses of what may come to pass by watching the news coming out of Haiti and Chile and other places after the earthquakes wreak their damage. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, are going without because they have to rely upon others to fend for them. Tent cities, food rations meted out, scarce water, no supplies, no money for their needs, no jobs with which to earn money. These people wait, huddled in small forest tent communities, waiting for their rescuers to tell them what to do and where to go. We say this will never happen in such an advanced country as the United States, but is this a true statement? I think we would be wise to reflect upon the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina and all of the other major hurricanes we've received. And then there are the wildfires and mudslides of the West Coast, and don't forget the recent cold spell of last winter that locked the Mideast and parts of the Midwest into a practically unheard of frigid and crippling time for everyone. Natural disasters can occur nearly every day in some part of the world. We never hear of them because, for the most part, it's just part of the life of those people. It's every day for them, so it's not really strange. It's nothing they need to worry about. But people in other nations don't have the things we do, so they have less to lose. And since they have less to lose, their perception between their lives before and after any calamity is quite different than what ours would be. Their lives are not mired down in possession and wealth. Granted, many of these people would like to have what we possess, but it's mostly because certain globalist activists insist that they do. Wealth and ease dangles in front of many third world citizens like a fat worm in front of a bass. And they protest. They become citizens of the world and cry for more and more. When it becomes a real tragedy, though, is when that society that has been made to become so dependent upon the things they can live without. If you've never had a TV, how could you miss one? And these are some of the things that we're going to be talking about here in this series, Preparedness 101, as we go along. We're going to take a look at what could happen and how we can mitigate that possible happening. By preparing now for that time and by getting into a location or an area that will allow us to build what we call, or I call, a survival homestead. And what a survival homestead is it's a piece of property that can be yours, needs to be paid for in full, and that property can be used to provide you with a sustainable lifestyle, so that no matter what happens, like I said earlier in the show, provided a nuke doesn't drop on your doorstep, you'll be ready, no matter what happens, to survive the coming times. And by sharing this series with you, I'm hoping that it will instill a spirit of preparedness and survivalism in many of you to get ready for what's coming down the road. That's the end of today's episode. We'll see you next time on Chapter 2 of Preparedness 101, where we're going to take a look at what some of the calamities that are going on around the world are and how they can affect us, and how you can begin setting up your notebook so that you can make your plans to prepare for this coming times. Have a good day, everybody, and I'll see you next time.